the nails for me. This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Greetings. This is Glorious Day. I'm Pastor Dave.
This is Pastor Barry.
And we're welcome you back to another of our programs from Glorious Day, where we're just feeling like God wants us to share with you things that will be helpful in the coming days, because God is moving. Things are changing. The revival God promised is on the way. It's mm-hmm. closer today.
Every day.
Every day. And we just have it in our hearts to bring things to you that will help you grow in your faith, or if you have no faith, that will maybe come to a point of saying, I want Jesus today because I need faith.
That's beautiful.
And so, yeah. Mm. So tonight we're going to be talking about God's peace and man's peace. And Barry gave me this idea early in the week. We were talking about what we might do. And so because of that, the scripture that came to mind is mm-hmm. John 14:27. And Barry, would you start us in that?
Absolutely. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, the word of the Lord.
Amen. It is the word of the Lord. Mm. And that, you know, got us to talking before the we started recording about the issue of peace. And there's a dichotomy here, God's peace and man's peace. Mm. And there's a vast difference between yeah. those two.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, to say we need to focus on God's peace, because man's peace, the peace of the human being that we can perceive to be, that peace which what we hear about in the world is not really the kind of peace you want.
No, it's not the kind of peace you want, because we want forever peace.
Yeah.
We want yeah. deep down peace. We want meaningful peace. And we'll get into it, David, but you know, God's peace and the world's peace, it just sounds like the real product and a counterfeit product. Man's peace is counterfeit. And before we came on the air, we were talking about all the wars that we know of. Who knows how many wars were before that?
Yes.
Since the beginning of time. But when a war ends, you see the big party and the people in the streets popping the corks of the champagne and the balloons go up and we have a treaty for peace.
Yes.
And
yes.
then about a year later, we're back at war again.
Yes.
That's a temporary counterfeit peace.
And that tells us a great deal about the distinction between God's peace and man's peace is mm-hmm. that man's peace is transitory. It is something of the moment. Mm. You know, it's like the dew on the grass that when the sun first rises and mm-hmm. and the sunlight comes through the drops of dew and you see the rainbow and it's all wonderful and the butterflies begin flying around it, and then you know, as the sun goes up into the middle of the sky, then it's all gone. It's all dissipated, and mm-hmm. You know, you have to start all over again. But the point, I think, that the deeper issue is that when we talk about peace, and I love this scripture because Jesus makes it clear, and this is part of the farewell discourse when he's praying for his disciples and, mm-hmm. you know, bringing his concerns to the Father, and he's going to be laying the groundwork for the church that will follow. And he says to his disciples, that's why he says, peace I leave, my peace I give to you. Mm-hmm. This is Jesus, God, now saying, my peace I give to you, mm-hmm. so that God's peace is a gift to his church. And then he goes on to clarify, says, not as the world gives do I give to you. Because he already knows the world gives it a peace that like that dew that mm, melts
right.
as the sun goes up. His peace is permanent. It's eternal. And we were talking earlier about the word, before we came on the air, about trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in God. And that, to me, is the core of understanding God's peace.
I think once you establish that trust in God, and that may take a little time, mm-hmm. From your birth as a baby Christian and throughout your life, like we always talk about, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that your life's going to be perfect and all the rough spots in the road are smoothed out and you'll never have a problem.
Exactly.
The difference is that you go through your worries, your problems, your crises with Christ.
Amen.
Big difference. Because there lies your peace. If you trust in God, you're still going to go through it, but you're going to go through it with Him.
The when I think of this, the one, and I think I've referenced this story before, but it's a good story about God's peace for me anyway. And that was back in the day before I went to seminary. Now that we're talking about, 1979, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, or maybe 1980. But it was in that era. And I was volunteering with a prison ministry. I later on worked as part of their staff, but I was volunteering with them, and they demanded, well, I say demand, but they said, you know, I really understand what we're doing. You've got to go with us on one of our crusades into the prisons.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, cool. That's good, you know. And
well, you sounded young there, David. Well, you must have been just a very young man.
Well, let's see. I was 30 in 1980.
Okay. So everybody do the math now.
Everybody do the math. Yeah, I'm a little older today, but and I was excited, but I was also terrified.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you were.
You know, and in fact, I'm pretty sure I shared this story, but it's worth repeating. So I knew I was there because God had called me to be with this group, and there were a lot of prisons they went into for crusades. It happened to be the one that I was picked to go with them. We went up to Stark, Florida, mm-hmm. where there's the three major prisons.
Those are big prisons.
Big prisons.
That's where they used to keep old Sparky.
Yes, in Florida State Prison, either mm-hmm. that or Union Correctional, I can't remember. Rayford, all those are up in that area.
Right.
But Florida State Prison is the bigger prison where they keep the tough guys.
Okay.
The tough, I mean, they've been around the block. And they caused a lot of damage when they were going around the block, you know. Mm-hmm. So they were there long-term, some lifers up there. And so the prison was designed with that in mind. It was, you know, it really was stark mm-hmm. when you think about it. And as we pulled in off the road down into the parking lot, and I started getting afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, well, Lord, I don't know if I was too late for me to back out, you know. So
sure.
I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And as we were getting, before we got out of the car, you know, the director of the prison ministry was there. He was driving us up, and we had a prayer there in the car. And as soon as I got out of the car, I began to feel comfortable in a spiritual way.
Right, right.
And as we walked into the prison, and again, it's just a very, I mean, all the official stuff you do, you go through several checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a certain point, you're saying, well, am I really the person I told him when I came in? You know, you're showing your IDs and stuff, and you're taking off your belt and your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
The TSA learned that from the prisons, you know, now mm-hmm. when you go through your to the airport to get on your flight. But there was within my heart a peace that I knew was from God. That it was durable, you know, it was unbreakable, unshakable. And we got then into the Chapel of Light, which is it's deep in the bowels of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's no windows up to the outside.
Well, sure.
But it was a beautiful church. You walk in there, the stained glass windows that had the fluorescent lights behind them.
It probably looked just like a normal church.
Any church, any Protestant church anyway, that you could think of walking into with the fruitwood pews and the dark burgundy carpet and the matching cushions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like any nice First Baptist church in a medium-sized town.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then the prisoners started coming in and sitting down, the inmates. And I know most of these guys they'd murdered people, serious robbery and drug folks and stuff like people I'd never met in my whole life.
Right.
But you know, the thing was, I had God's peace. And so that memory, and I've had other events since then, to say that memory What is God's peace then, but his assurance that he has you in a world of conflict and pain, a broken world?
Right.
That's part of our, it's part of the gift that he gives us in our faith in Christ.
So David, not to second guess God, but you were given that beautiful, graceful gift of peace before you went in. Now, looking at that, it reminds me of the expression, one can't give peace unless they possess peace. So you were gifted with this peace, and as you came face to face with the inmates, they probably sense that. I think people sense the peace of God.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't have it, they want it.
Absolutely.
So there was a draw there, a drawing in, so to speak, where they wanted to come to you and see what is it all about. Why is this man exuding this peace that's coming from him? Back in the day before you were born and I was born, Middle Ages, so to speak, there was Latin chiseled over the churches that said Pax Intrentibus, and you saw it chiseled in above the monasteries and all these other religious buildings, and it means peace to all who enter.
Yes.
And I've often prayed for, wished for, and hoped for that people could somehow chisel that on their soul.
Oh, yeah.
Peace to all who enter. So as they enter your sphere, your person, and they come face to face with you, they sense this peace of God. And there's a drawing in. You know, holiness is very inviting, and people can sense it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been around a holy person, I had this beautiful experience one time with a man in the nursing home who, you just felt it when you went in his room. Very prayerful man. And he just had this presence about him. And all the nursing staff were saying the same thing. I just want to stay in his room.
Mm.
I don't want to go to see another patient because he's just such a peaceful man.
Yes.
You know, before we went on the air, I was talking to David. We're both chaplains, but David had the other end of care, hospice care.
Yeah.
And I think that hospice chaplains are especially blessed, where they witness a true Christian, what you like to call a 24 karat Christian, as they pass, that it's a very peaceful moment, as opposed to that of someone who doesn't believe.
Yes.
Do you want to share something about that?
Well, I have two quick examples from the years I spent as a hospice chaplain. And when you said that, you know, I thought of many patients that I was at their bedside when they died and they were not believers.
Mm.
And, you know, and I'll be directly honest here, most hospices are run by liberals, you know, and they don't want you to do anything overtly Christian, you know.
No evangelizing.
And,
here.
No evangelizing. They want you to provide spiritual care. And, you know, so all that's well and good. But I made it a point I brought Jesus with me, you know, and there were some cases when, I never withheld a witness, and especially when God led me to.
Right.
And so I have seen both people who not only didn't want to know the Lord, but resisted till the end.
Right.
And what I saw was, up till the time they died, that they were discomforted. And they may have been comatose, but that didn't stop the expressions of discomfort.
And they were probably restless in the bed. And
restless,
moving around
as much as they could. I mean, some being at the end of life, they had very little energy left to writhe and groan. But what the energy was being expended on and then little moans and, you know, twitches. And
there was no peace there.
There was no peace. You know, and in fact, on several occasions, a family would say to the hospice nurse, give him or her more medication. You know, and the nurse, being the professional that they are, say they knew the medication levels were at their peak.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, and this is where they would bring me in sometimes at the end, and they would say, they are as medicated for pain and suffering as we can do.
Right.
He said, what they're having is spiritual pain. And that would open the door sometimes, not always. But I've had one case where a patient had family member had recognized that, asked the nurse for more meds, and she said, can't do it.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, let's face it, if they can't over-medicate, it goes on the record. Mm-hmm. Their license is on the line.
Absolutely. There's protocols here. And
protocols, plus they knew it would probably bring the patient to a quicker end, which, you know, many people think is what hospice is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while under hospice, well, let's kill them as fast as we can.
I had a grandmother who called them the people with the black vial with the the skull and crossbones on the vial.
Oh, it's all of this mythical, you know, prejudice sometimes. But anyway, and so I came over. They were finally invited me to come over.
Mm-hmm.
And I really basically, I knew their history. I knew the lady's history that they were in the church. They were in the Baptist church when she was a kid, and then, you know, I think she accepted Christ as in a teenager. And so I basically just sat next to her bed. She was beyond showing that she could comprehend. She was at comatose.
Mm-hmm.
But these moans, you know, and so I just talked to her. I preached the gospel to her.
Right.
Reminded her what she'd heard in church, you know, about Jesus. He loved her. He died on the cross for her so she could be free, that he took her sins and the sins of humanity upon himself. You know, the whole thing you discuss, the gospel message.
Right.
And then again, you're talking about peace. Because when Jesus says here, you know, my peace I leave with you,
mm-hmm.
my peace I give to you, when you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior at that very moment,
mm-hmm.
that gift is yours. You may claim it or not, but that gift is yours. And so I basically spoke to this woman to encourage her to claim the gift of peace, you know, that God wanted her to have, that Jesus had brought to her when she did accept Christ as a teenager,
mm-hmm.
you know, 35, 40 years prior. And then I prayed. We went through and had a prayer. And then I'd done all I could do, and I left. And so the husband called me the next day, and he told me that about an hour after I left, she died. But he said, soon after you left, she stopped moaning and groaning, and she had a big smile on her face when she died.
Peacefully.
The peace of Christ, which we know in the middle of all kinds of conflict and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not that we are, as Christians, we avoid conflict and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's that peace of Christ is available to us. He won't force it. I mean, we have to say, Lord, I need your peace. We have to reach out to him, and
right.
he knows we need it. But he won't force anything on a believer or on anybody.
It's just a shame that people wait to the last minute, because they have the opportunity, we all have the opportunity to live a life in the peace of Christ. But there's baggage that people carry that preclude them from accepting that gift.
Yeah.
I had a patient one time who was a rather locally famous DJ down in South Florida. Won't say his name, but he was a real funny guy, mm-hmm. talented man.
Mm-hmm.
Spent his whole life with his hand up. Nope, no, I don't want to hear about Jesus. And he called me preacher man, and I called him radio man. And we had this arm's length relationship, because when I would do a church service, he would be in his wheelchair in the periphery, making fun of all of us. And there was this one employee who's this little woman who preaches Christ 24/7, even in her sleep. And she would not give up on him. She was constantly preaching to him. And one day I walked into the building in the lobby, and she said, hey, old man, can you still run? And I said, a short distance. And so I ran with her, and he was actively dying. And she opened his eyes with her fingers manually. She said his name. She said, do you remember what we talked about? And he nodded his head, and tears were flowing down his face. And I walked him through the sinner's prayer, and he nodded his head, and we baptized him in his deathbed.
Wow.
And you were talking about moaning and writhing and things like that. Mm-hmm. I watched his whole body simply relax, the facial muscles relax, his neck muscles relax, and he had a very painful condition. It was cancer of bone and everything else.
Ooh, that is tough.
It's a tough one. And everything relaxed, and he took his last breath, like you said, with a smile on his face. And it's a beautiful moment. But again, you people out there, if you're listening and you're on the fence and you're living a life that's got contrition, some degree of contrition, where you think, I need to come to the Lord.
Yeah.
but I don't know how. Find a pastor, a preacher, another Christian. There's a lot of them out there. Yep. They're not hiding. And ask them, how do I do this? Or call us. Leave us a message of Glorious Day, because I preach the gospel with a sense of urgency, not only because I don't want anybody to burn in the lake of fire, but I see these vital lives that are all chewed up and tied up in sin,
yeah,
and in worry and anxiety, you know, and you may not even need all those medications if you would just come to Christ, accept his gift of peace.
Yes.
And there it is waiting for you. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force it on you.
He never would do that. But having gone through or having experienced people who don't have peace through mm-hmm. most of my life as a pastor, 37 years, Barry. Just
wow.
As a, you know, what an interesting journey.
Congratulations.
Well, that's, if I keep going, it'll be 38, you know. I don't go to be with the Lord. But I would say, you know, and people would come to Christ, you know, and then they would say to me, maybe they'd be in their 40s or 50s, and they say, I wish I'd have done this when I was younger.
Right.
And, you know, I said, well, I wish you had too, but now you can share that story with others who are younger.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a peace that you cannot have. The world's peace at its best is manifested in the attempt to get some breathing space between conflicting battles of spiritual oppression. I made a note earlier on our little worksheet that we have for each session. And I was thinking, you know, that is at the very best. If you're relying on the world's peace, you might get a tiny slice of time between conflicts.
A three-day weekend in a lifetime.
Really? Yeah.
On the beach, and that's it.
But then, you know, as you get started, you're thinking, this ain't going to last.
Right.
So how much peace do you have, really? God has all this wonderful peace for now. And it when you have that peace, when you first experience, you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you get that peace right away. And you know that it's not going to be taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
God keeps his promises. He is not one of these givers that he'll throw it at you and then he'll pull it back.
He's not a flim-flam man.
He's not a flim-flam man. This is not a con, folks. This is real.
That's right.
Are you lacking peace today? I mean, you're a listener. What now? If you're a believer and you're lacking peace, then I'm reminding you, Barry and I are reminding you, get on your knees, go to the foot of the cross. You know, if you have Jesus in your heart, say, Jesus, I need the peace that you promised in this John 14:27, this
mm-hmm.
verse.
I want that.
I want mm-hmm. that right now. I forgot to ask for it. You know, I thought I could do this on my own, and I realized I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have that peace. You to submit to God.
Submission, and it might make it a little bit easier on you if you know that he's already standing there waiting with his hands open.
Right, exactly.
So it's
exactly.
Not like you're knocking on a door waiting. You're not put on hold.
Yeah, right. It's not like you have to go on Amazon and then wait 2 days. You know, he's right there.
Right,
you can't see him. All right. But he's right there anyway.
You know, I have a friend who is on the fence as far as believing, and a truly young, intelligent person, but they are spiritually hungry, so they go out to every little nook and cranny of this world's quote-unquote spirituality, all the different religions and the alternative religions.
Oh, yeah.
And all the other things, psychobabble that I like to call it, and all kinds of smells, flavorings, and candles, and you name it.
Yeah.
And I just smile. I think, you know, at least they're looking, but, you know, it would be so much easier for them and cheaper. They don't have to buy any statues or that $55 candle to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get on their knees, like you say, and just ask Jesus. You know, the prayer life is so important because that's your connectivity. I always ask with my residents, everybody pray today? And I encourage them to seek a continuous prayer life. And that's a whole other story that Dave and I could talk about. But truly, it's that long, lifelong conversation with God, not the once a day blessing the food, or the once a day obligatory prayer, but a conversation with someone who loves you more than you know.
And it's a wondrous ongoing communion, if mm-hmm. you will, but communication between you and God that only grows.
Amen.
You know, and I hope that it were And if you don't know the Lord tonight or today, whenever you're hearing this, if you don't know the Lord, he wants you to know him. He loves you so much. That whole business of Jesus dying on the cross for you is real. He went, by the way, to the cross without yelling, screaming, or crying. He was in great pain. But if you want to see the peace of God, read the Gospels from the time he was arrested until he was crucified. And they would have reported what really happened, and they did. And there was no time, because Jesus he embodied the peace that he wants to give you. Because what did he say? That there we carry a cross, you know.
Yes, we do.
We all have a cross that we carry, and it's that we need his peace in order to recognize and take it up.
Mm-hmm.
And take it up. And of course, taking up the cross is another way of submitting to the one who was nailed on it, submitting to Jesus.
Beautifully said. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, just sort of God just gave it to me. So, you know, I had to say it, but it...
Well, he was the perfect sacrificial lamb.
He had to be. Yes, he was the only perfect sacrifice that could be given for the sins of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
We have about a minute and a half, Barry, and so I'd like to ask you to pray for our listeners right now.
Thank you, David. Let us pray. Oh, dear Lord. We live in a dark and sometimes a scary world.
Yes, Jesus.
And without you, we would be full of anxiety, full of worry, full of trepidation, afraid to take the next step. And then along comes you, oh, Jesus. You come along and you pick us up and you give the hope and your peace that we can take the next step and the step after that and move forward. We move forward under the grace of God. We have no power on our own, Lord, and we know that. We don't make any bones about the fact that we are indeed weak, physically weak, sometimes intellectually and spiritually weak. And yet, you always welcome us back, even when we fall over and over and over again. So we come to you today for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Refill us, recharge us, revive us. And give us the strength and courage to go out into the world and preach an unchanged gospel, to preach the truth,
amen,
to share this truth with all those who don't know the truth, to share your love, to share your forgiveness. And Lord, most of all, we share the fact that you loved us so much that you had a perfect plan of salvation through your obedient son, Jesus, and we accept that. Mm. We pray today in your son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And before we go, a reminder, you can reach us email-wise by sending an email to gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. That's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. Until next time, have a blessed week.
Amen. God bless all of you, and good night, Tom.
Good night. Good night, Tom. Yes.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Found him. Gil went looking for my past, but only found love. I heard about a sea where sin sinks like stones. There's no floor there, just mercy down below.